Exactly the intro that I thought it was going to be. What did I do? Oh, I switched the names. All right, here goes. I don't know why I did. This is just a marker, pretty much. But we're going to listen to this.
Replace solid there.
Listen to this. Yep. What? No. No. Engage. Pick your eyes up.
No. No.
What is this? What did I do?
Just, what is, there a song? Is there a...
I grabbed the wrong one. I can change that real quickly. There's a song, and I put a lot of work into it.
Just play the song.
Not this one. This isn't the one. What?
Apparently not that much.
What the hell happened? Where did those save to?
This is Bush League.
This is Bush League.
This is Bush League. Yeah.
Where is it at? All right. I know where it's at.
I apologize,
I didn't test
Ryan.
This. God darn it. What a dunce. Hold on.
If you could hear the first 10 minutes of every podcast before we the stuff we publish, you would have never agreed to do this.
Got your drink on.
I'm going to drink it. Sunny D.
Your drink? Oh, yeah. That's your go-to.
That's Tang.
That's pretty much, yeah, space food.
Space, man. Look at my cool little box I bought.
Let's check it out. Holy. Going to do some meetings?
That's sacred just, items.
That's just plum sacred.
I know. I know. I didn't mean to start to show off with a flex. I apologize.
I hope you smudged that well.
I did.
In and out. What direction was you facing?
I was facing the direction of the rising sun. Yeah.
That's the thing, though. Like when you like, if your thing is to pray to the sun, you're not necessarily facing due east. It'll vary mm-hmm. by the year.
By the year, time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I call into question all this nonsense about the east. I call into question right now.
I do too. That yeah. So remember the thing of setting the teepee up so the door faces the east.
Yeah.
But what time of the year, and when you set it up, you know, how do you so I think that idea of the east, and I don't know, it gets stuck in a time. Somebody said something at one time, maybe it was written in a famous book or something.
Yeah, I definitely think that the facing the east thing for sure is like a part of kind of the general sense of a tribe's belief.
Yeah.
But according to the Crow, you can offer a prayer, I guess. I like using the phrase wish-making because like prayer is kind of like this kind of cadenced, like a certain type of verbiage where like... Yeah. A more traditional Crow person might make a wish to something. Right. And
right.
But that could be a mountain. It could be a tree. It could be an anthill. It could be a storm. It could be the sun. It could be the moon. It could be the wind. So you would face whatever it is you're making your wish to.
Right. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't turn your back to it. So making a wish to something. Inanimate, for lack of a better word.
Lack. Emphasize the lack.
Lack thereof.
Fond du Lac.
I was telling my kid about, he wanted to write some words in cursive, so I was throwing some hard ones at him, you know. So write geomorphology. So he'd write it. What does that mean? I tell him. He wanted another word, so I said, write anthropocentric.
Oh.
So what does that mean? He writes it. I said, well, just look it up. So he comes back. He says it means human-centered. Human-centered. Ooh. He said, what's human-centered? I don't know. It's just anything that is and of about and for the purpose of humans, I guess. I don't know. He throws these hard ones at me where I have to answer to the very definition of things. But yeah. So this thing that you're talking about, wishing. So what? Okay, let me go back. Step back. What's the difference between wishing and praying then? Because you said prayer is like a cadence or like a recitation. Is that a word?
Recitation.
Recitation. Reciting.
Remember, recitations were popular country songs.
Well, I never
heard like that. Yeah, recitation is like Luke the Drifter, Hank Williams. He would like just talk over like a.
Oh,
like a, oh, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so you're saying prayer is like a. What do you got there? You're holding up an old. That looks like an old. Like, look at those buttons, man. Those are like when you go take that hearing test when you was in school. And they got those weird headphones they put on you that go right into your ear. Then they play the big old tape recorder. And they got the record button. It's a little red button right in the middle of the play button. Remember those?
Yep. Sketchy business there.
It is. Yeah, you could easily fudge up and hit record when you intend to just press play. Anyway, so yeah. Okay, tell me. Tell me about this. So this is the question. If you told me this, what I would ask. Well, what's the difference besides the recitation? I don't know. I still don't think that's a word. See, the fact that you can't say it puts into question your credibility.
As a human?
As a human-centered endeavor.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I got to find you something first.
Okay.
Before I get too ahead of myself.
All right, don't get ahead of yourself. Because I think I know, but I'm just trying to peel it out of you for the listeners. The wish versus the prayer. This is important because it's going to build up to what we're talking about. Whoa, what you got there? Can't hear it well. No, it's not coming in well. You must got a noise cancel on your mic or something because it's blocking it out.
I found a Red Bull tape, like a old pile of Red Bull tape.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway, well, we could talk about this. I just wanted to show up my tape player.
Where did you get that? The basement from of the basement of the Tim. Dentist? BIA from dentist?
Tim. Well, Tim, my buddy Tim has peyote tapes from like peyote meetings.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of them peyote guys and all them dudes, they have tape players because they want to listen to a lot of old peyote tapes.
Oh yeah.
So I found all these powwow tapes and recordings and
yeah.
And I said, hey, you got tape players? So he said, yeah. So like I got a Black Whistle tape.
Oh. Like the studio one?
Yeah, 95.
Yeah.
I got anyway. A big,
yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah, we gotta quit. Yeah.
Yeah, quit anyway. Sidetracking.
Hey, we're getting sidetracked.
So I was gonna go off on it because I got a sack of tapes from my dad. All these old tapes. Not old as in the 40s, 50s, 60s. These are like powwow, the powwow era. 70s and 80s. Yeah.
That's still some Chiniki Lake.
Yeah.
All the lakes. Cathedral Lake.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Back when Black Lodge was, the kids were just, you know, in their pre-teen ages, you know. That kind of music. Oh, it was really high, you know. Anyway. Yeah. Even higher.
I know. I can't even do it.
You can't. I can't get up there no more. That's way like, up there.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, bro.
Yeah. So, if you can sing and you sound like it's coming out of a phonograph, you're doing really good to reproduce the 70s. You can even replicate like it where it slows down a bit. Ooh. Yeah, that's the 70s. Oh, look. There.
This tape says Round Dance Night, April 5th, 2002.
April 5th, 2002.
That's 20 years old.
That didn't seem old, but it is. Whoa, the writing on that tape makes it look pretty old. But when you say 2002, that feels like a couple years ago. Anyway, get back to this question of mine now. Quit stalling.
All right, ask the question.
All right, prayer versus a wish. Now, you said prayer. Is this more of a formal or I didn't quite get what you said anyway. But the wish is you're asking something, a physical thing of the earth. Because it's important to understand this, of the earth. Like you said, rock, a storm, a tree, the sun. Would the sun be part of that wish?
Yeah, I would think so. Okay. Yeah, you could.
You could. All right. So then the prayer.
I think
then,
anything.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, you don't get a handbook that says.
The only thing I think that would be different is the pipe. So the pipe, you're not making wishes to the pipe. You're using the pipe for that. So it's like it's a beacon, you know.
Right.
It's the telescope.
One of the tools.
It's the tool.
Yeah.
It's a tool. So okay, so before I start, I'm not an expert at any of this.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of going off of what I see, what I don't want to say what I feel because that sounds cheesy, because who the hell cares what I feel?
But, yeah.
So like a prayer to me has a certain form to it. Like there's a form to it. First of all, you acknowledge something. So the creator of all things, right? Then you talk about how pitiful you are.
Okay.
And then how undeserving you are of something. Then you say how thankful for you are for all these things, like food, shelter, maybe moisture in the air. I don't know. You know, if you're a farmer, probably like rain. Then you go and ask for that creator of all things to just do its will.
Yeah.
And then you'll say, you'll ask for protection of your family, typically.
Yeah.
And then you'll end by the acknowledgement of that thing, whatever it is you're praying to. And then that's it. It seems to kind of be this running standard. I'm not against that. Like everybody else, I was raised praying that way.
Right.
Where I have trouble with it is that my prayer has no, it's of no consequence to the creator for me to tell the creator to do its will.
Okay.
It's gonna do its will with or without my prayer.
right. So then
we're just like God, just do your will. We just pray to you today and we just ask you to just do your will. It's like, I mean,
is that what they call placating? Is that the word? Placating.
Man, you're using some big ins tonight.
Well, I'm just curious. You hear it in these old ethnography or anthropological texts, you know, they're placating their gods with their offering of corn or something. Placating their gods with the offering of flesh or something, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, you know, placating it to appease this will that's going to happen no matter what, in hopes to steer it some way more favorable.
Well, I don't even know if that prayer, that standard form of praying, even does that.
Okay.
I don't even know. It just seems like,
yeah.
So I go back and forth on the pitiful thing.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
In private, where we kind of go and we do this, like, I'm pitiful.
Yeah.
I'm nothing without you. And then sometimes I think like I can imagine God or the creator saying, well, I didn't make you that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here we're kind of thinking like, we have this thought of like us having to be pitiful, in order to talk to the creator. So that's why I feel like this idea of intercessors, or not even intercessors, because intercessor implies that this object or this weather phenomenon is a messenger. It's a messenger to God, when that's not. If you really go back to a lot of, especially in our region here, a lot of the beliefs of our people, they're not messengers. They actually possess the power we're seeking.
Right.
Would I be correct in thinking that?
No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
You are correct. I know I'm going to take the think you're right out of it and say you're correct.
Okay. All right. So one time I heard this person say, talking about something, I think like a medicine bundle or the sun or something. And so we don't pray to the sun. We pray through the sun or through the bundle. Mm. And I used to kind of like subscribe to that way of thinking until I started actually going around these things more. And I realized, no, they ask that thing for something, like the sun. They'll look right at the sun and ask the sun for something.
Yeah.
They don't. It's not like, hey, sun, can you go tell God?
Yeah.
They'll ask the sun for whatever this is, or or that, or a bird, or a buffalo, or something, you know, like that. So so when you really think about, we'll just generically use the term prayer for tribal people, the wish idea is more specific.
Okay, well, let me go back to this before you get to the wish. Let me talk about this prayer thing and what you said.
Okay.
Do it. So this is the form. And you're right. You hear this a lot. You hear, I mean, it's familiar. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge it. So you acknowledge the thing that you're praying to. It's what you said. Tell it you're pitiful. Tell it you're thankful for what you have gotten so far. Then the ask. But now I want, or can I have these things, whatever. Not can I have. Then you say thank you or whatever. But the pitiful part, now this is, let me ask you this part about being pitiful. So to get into a state of being pitiful would be one way of achieving your desired wish. Agree, disagree. So I'm thinking about fasting, right? So you get into a state where you're pretty low. Mm. You get yourself really low.
So I go back and forth on this too, because I feel like this is also misrepresented.
Yeah.
This way of thinking, that they'll say we fast so we become pitiful, and that these spirits, our God, will take pity on us.
Yeah.
So I'll openly say that I believe that.
Yeah.
But I've questioned it several times, only because I've heard stories, old stories about things, about these kinds of things. And what it is to me is more like payment for something.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the result is the same. But if I'm going to go and sit and fast and ask that mountain for something, I'm going to look right at that big mountain and I'm going to say, You're strong. I want, my wish is for me to be like you or something. And in order for me to get what I'm asking of you, I'm going to pay for it by suffering here, or I'm going to pay for it by cutting the tip of my finger off, or I'm going to pay for it by cutting my arm.
Yeah.
But that payment can happen in other ways too. A payment can simply just be, if you do give me my wish, I'll come back here next year and sit 4 days.
Right.
Or you might say, if that happens, I'll feed my community, and you might have meat, good meat, and you'll have a big feed to as payment for what it is you're asking for.
Yeah.
Now we're speaking real general.
Yeah.
Like in a real general sense. But I think that's very different than somebody suffering till God takes pity on you. And the only reason I've kind of changed my mind on some of this is I was visiting with this guy a few years ago, and he said that one time a relative of his came to him and asked him to pray. And he said, okay, I'll go and fast and pray for you guys and your sick relative. He says, I went there thinking I'm going to pray until that person's good. So I'm going to suffer for that person.
Yeah.
And he said, I realized now I had done it wrong. He told me, he said, what I should have said to them was, okay, I'll make a wish right now. He didn't say to the son. He just kind of said, I'll make a wish to something. And I'll say, if so-and-so is healthy by the spring, then I'll go and fast 4 days. Because he said, what if they never got healthy, and I would have sat out there, and I would have had to go back every year until they were healthy.
Yeah. I remember you telling that story.
Yeah. So it kind of and this is real detailed, you know, so like people have to really pay attention to their ceremonies or even the way people speak.
Yeah.
Because like that, you're not going to notice, because on the outset, it looks cultural. It's all on par for your culture. But you have to really step back and notice like the vow they're making. That has a lot to do with that person's level of traditionalism.
Right.
So like he might say, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to pray to God. It's like, okay, you can do that.
Yeah.
But what exactly are you asking for? That might determine what you want, what you want to pray to, the thing you want to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
So a good example is those old warriors. They used to like medicines for war, power, spiritual power. So some of them like to ask wishes of storms.
Yeah.
So they would have the power of the storm to make bad weather. So like when they were escaping the enemy, they could make it storm or like that kind of thing. So you got to know what you're asking for in order to use those elements of creation and the power that those elements have.
Right.
And it is also the belief that you can piggyback off of somebody else's power. So like, say you go and fast, you receive a medicine, and I know you have this particular medicine. So then I would go to you and say, hey, this is going on with me right now. I want to have a meal, feed your medicine, and ask good things from your medicine. And you say, okay, we'll do that on the next whatever your protocols are for that particular thing. Because I might look at you and say, man, this guy he dresses good. He looks good. His horses are healthy.
Yeah.
You know, his kids look good. They're healthy. His wife has a good home. Yeah. Those are the things I'm looking for. So whatever he has, I want some of that. So I'm going to go to him and tell him. I'm going to give him some gifts. And then he might open his medicine for me, and then I can make wishes for that.
Mm.
That's real specific.
Right.
Some might even argue that I'm sharing too much, but it all goes back to this. I'm not saying specifics anyway about people's things, but
yeah.
What I'm saying is that's very different. That's a very different outlook of a religion and how a religion is used versus this kind of generic pseudo-Christian approach to our own beliefs. And I would even say that most traditionalists now have adopted the cadence and the rhythm and the verbiage of the Christian church, even if they're not Christian people.
Right.
And I'm actually getting to the point in my life where I don't even care if someone's Christian. I think they could ask good things for me, and that will happen.
Yeah.
So that's never stopped me from going to someone I know is a devout Christian. We know our good buddy Kenny pretty on top.
Yeah.
nobody will deny that he's a believer.
Yeah.
He prays hard. So I would definitely go to him and say, hey, I got this going on. I want you to pray for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's not a matter of being like a hater on somebody else's religion. It's just being pro crow or whatever that person is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that idea of prayer and this and asking for good things or asking for something. So prayer versus wish making to me is very different.
Yeah.
And actually the wish making concept, even if other tribes don't use that phrasing, like wish making, that's what they're doing. Especially in our area, our region. Would you say that's the case?
I think so. You kind of went off there. I didn't want to stop you because you're on a roll, man. You went off.
Sorry.
No, I mean, no, that's good. So I just want to clarify. I'm going to step way back.
Okay.
Stepping way back.
Sorry.
Yeah, you should be sorry. Okay. So we're talking about being pitiful. And I said, so some people think that lowering yourself to a state of pitifulness gets you rewarded. But I think you're right in a lot of ways where it's not necessarily, I mean, it looks like someone might be doing that, you know, they're just going to get all raggedy and pitiful. But I think that's a different thing. You know, that's like part of mourning while you're letting yourself kind of go because you're sad. But this other thing we were talking about fasting, whatever these things that you have to do, they're more of, like you said, they're more sacrifices. Like you're making payment to receive something. And that happens in many forms, as you mentioned, in many different ways. And you have to be careful on how somebody is going to help you in that manner, because their commitment to helping you and sacrificing could be, I guess, the wording of it has to be, you have to choose very carefully. So then the wish, so now this is all, that was all kind of part of the prayer, right? Praying. But we're saying it might come from this, adopted from this way of praying that comes from some other religion, whatever. So now the wish, let me step back. So the prayer then, because some people might wonder, so, well, what are you praying to under that circumstance? Is that a God? Someone might say, you know, I'm thinking of like some non-indigenous, non-Indian folks say, well, what are you praying to under those circumstances? What is the creator? Or what is this thing where you employ this manner of praying? Now, we're not talking about wishing. We already said that might be something different. But if you're talking about prayer, who or what is that? Because I know in the old way, you know, in our kind of some of the Salish beliefs, it was mostly praying to the sun. That was the thing. But there was this other thing too, the person who sits on top of the mountain. That was another thing. But I don't know if that came in at some other time in the early history. But the original, the principal thing of prayer was to the sun.
I still argue if it's even prayer, though.
Right.
We were using that term prayer, but I think petitions or wish making is probably a better verbiage, only because it's a hard sell because we've bought into this idea of the word of prayer. Yeah. And I get it, and I use the word, but I would argue that what the Salish were doing was not praying. It was more leaning on that idea of making a petition or spiritual reciprocity in trade for something. I'm asking for this. I'm going to give you this.
Yeah.
And I would assume that although the sun, is probably seen as the supreme energy source and being, I would also make the argument that the Salish were as well looking at different elements, whether they're medicine objects or certain landscapes or spiritual things, beings, and making wishes to those things or praying to those things for. Again, I think it depends on the reason.
That's right. And I think that's what I'm getting to, because you're right. There wasn't just one mode of asking for something. That'd be kind of restricting. It'd be restricting if you just had one pathway to receiving some power, like you said, there was many needs in those times. So you needed many attributes to help you with those things. Like you said, for war, yeah, you want to be able to call in a storm. So what's going to give you that? Well, the thing that's manifesting that storm, which is thunderclouds or what have you, you know. So you're right. I think that's pretty common. The thinking and the thoughts of your people were very similar to the thinking and the thoughts of ours. But we get hung up on this thing, and I think they're one and the same. The prayer and the wish, I think they're one and the same. Because if you think about it, like think about all the things that you've ever prayed for. They're all wishes, right? You're wishing for something. Like you're praying for someone to feel well. I pray for me to feel well. I pray for this guy's kid to be well. I pray for him to keep his job, or them to, you know, have a good house. They're all wishes. They're all just wishes of something that manifests here on earth. That's what it is. So I don't see a big difference between like just the term in the English prayer and a wish. I think they're kind of one and the same. But I think the manner, the pathway to that idea that you're talking about, the prayer is this kind of, what's conscripted? Is that something? Conscripted?
I don't know, man. Dude, you're dropping heavy ones.
No, you say that a lot. So I figured you'd know. Conscripted.
I've never said that.
You've said
constructed?
That.
I've never said conscripted in my life.
You have. I'm going to go back.
I would say you're right. Like when tribal people, traditionalists, they're talking, when they say, oh, we're going to pray for this, I think they're saying the word prayer, but what they're really doing is this other thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's speaking. Now, if you were to go to like a Catholic church and they say, we're going to pray for something, that actually is like a ceremonial act of there's the Hail Mary, the Apostles' Creed. There's like these standardized things you do, which also in a weird way is like a form of spiritual reciprocity. So you do say you do something wrong in the Catholic Church, they tell you go do 15 Hail Marys. That's still like a penance to something.
Yeah.
You're paying something because of something. Now, with the Christian church and the identity of the culture, it's surrounded by sin. So, which is very different than like a native belief. The concept of sin is not in there, not in the same manner for sure. So the center of Christendom is this idea that it's all revolving around sin and then ridding yourself of sin.
Yeah.
So it's coming from a very different thing. So that's why all the pitiful talk comes in, because the idea of prayer in the Christian church is based on you being bad at whatever it is you're doing. As far as we know, the idea is that, the first foundational story in the Bible is someone messing up.
Yeah.
And so from that moment on, there was always this catch-up game, playing catch-up with the Creator.
Yeah.
Like, how can I right myself in the eyes of the Creator? So there's all these things you do. So there's like Moses with the Ten Commandments and this idea that like, here, follow these laws and then you'll be right with me. Well, then they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that right. So then this idea of like Jesus coming in and paying the ultimate price for the idea of sin.
Yeah.
So the religion is based around wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And missing the mark.
Yeah.
So I think when somebody thinks in the church thinks of prayer, their foundation is based around this idea that we've messed up. And so I'm going to ask for something, but how do I ask for something when I'm already in the wrong?
You know what I mean? Yeah. We had to get someone who's really versed in this, because we might be way off. I don't know. You was raised that way.
I was raised in it. I was raised that way. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So your firsthand experience.
Yeah, I think like a lot of Crow families, you like teetered on this. You teetered on this, like you're over here one time and you're over here the other time. Right. But for the most part, it was very common for Crow families in my upbringing to be like, to go to church, and after church, the sweat's ready. So then you go to
sleep.
So common. Yeah. And actually, I would even say it was probably pretty common at Flathead too.
Yeah.
This, where there was some of that.
You're right.
And the, so you're right. When a tribal person, and we'll stick to our region, approaches or goes before a powerful source of energy to seek something from it, it's not coming to it with that mindset.
Yeah.
Right?
I explain what you mean.
Sin.
Sin. Okay. God, it sounds like you're yelling at me. I sound like it's a sermon.
I'm fucking, fucking listen to me.
Like I'm in a sermon here.
Well, I've, dude.
No. I get it.
I'll honestly say that this conversation we're having is probably at the forefront of any person who's seeking, I don't know what how to say that. Like, Native people struggle with identity, and this is this right here is the topic.
Yeah,
coping with this very thing.
Yeah,
we're talking about. So maybe it's good. Maybe somebody's listening to this going, man, should I have these questions too? Because I think we're taught that we can't even have these questions.
Right. We are. And so I'm reflecting back.
I would even say it was making you uncomfortable, and you have no allegiances to the church.
Well, it makes me uncomfortable. Number one, because I feel like I don't know. I'm not an authority of Catholic or Christian matters. So I feel gun shy to even talk about it. But who is? And then take from your own personal experience, just like you, I was raised in my mom did her best to raise us traditionally in the 70s and 80s, which if anybody knows how it was in the 70s and 80s and on the res, we're still influenced by that Catholicism, but it's been integrated into a lot of things. So we don't recognize it. We don't see it. It's just the way it is. So my mom would always be super against the church, and then the next month we'd be going to the church, and I couldn't figure out why. She was so, as she would say, I'm brainwashed. I have to go here.
Well,
but it wasn't often.
It's also,
what is contradictory?
It's a social hub.
Well, yeah.
The church became kind of the cultural centerpiece of a community. So
yeah.
In that Flathead, even more so, because your tribe, like unlike a lot of tribes, sought it out. So I think they didn't have to cope with the justification part, like the intruder. I actually think that came way later.
Yeah,
are you guys gonna leave now? So I think part of it might be a little bit different, but well, I mean, just so we don't get too far in the weeds, like you're right. You are right. We're not experts, but I wouldn't say we're experts at even Native stuff either.
Right. Yeah. We're behind.
I mean, the whole point of this podcast is to like just ask these questions because we're all thinking them anyway.
Right. So this is what's on my mind now. So I'm thinking of, and maybe you've been putting this position before, but you can envision this. So yeah. a bunch of natives gather. I mean, even it doesn't have to be a bunch of natives, but you know, you're at some function and you see somebody get asked or somebody gets asked, oh, can you pray? Can you pray for to start us off? And it's always the same. Start us off
in a good way.
In a good way. and so this is the thing. So if you think back at that time and you think, well, what do people usually say? And this is where when I get, well, I think about it. So someone gets up and they're going to say, you know, recite whatever. And they say, I'm going to pray for, I'll pray for the food. So we have good food or whatever. And I always think, well, why do we even say the word pray when we're praying for something? You know what I mean? Like, what does that word even mean? I'm going to pray for the food. But what does that mean?
That's an odd concept too.
Yeah. But when it's a wish, if you think about, this is for someone like a little index card to write down for, if you get asked to pray, write these four steps down. Well, I don't know if they're four. Let's come up with four. Four steps. Number one, just say, no, I'm not old enough. Jokes now. Try to pass it off to somebody. That's usually, yeah, I'm not old enough. That's kind of weak. That's weak.
That's yeah, weak. But I pass it off all the time.
You do?
In fact, if any federal agency is listening right now, I'm going to say no.
Okay, number one, say no. But why? Let's get into this. Why would you say no?
Because I don't buy it. I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in prayer? You're a Native American.
It's not what I said.
Whoa. Heated. He got heated. Well, correct me then.
I got to open my smudge box. I got to open up my smudge box right now.
Yeah. So I know what you mean, though. So we're talking about appropriateness or, when is it appropriate to begin something with a prayer, for lack of a better word, because we kind of got confused on that a little bit. Well, I don't know. I think we know what it is, but it's the word. I don't get confused. Well, I don't get it because I don't. What's the action? The word is an action. I'm gonna pray for. Is that an action word? I'm limited English.
I don't know.
I'm limited English. Okay, what does pray really mean? Is it an action word?
I'm looking it up.
Okay, it's not like run. Like I'm gonna run. You know what you're gonna do then? You expect. Okay, I'm gonna run to the table. Then you know what's gonna happen.
Okay, under the Catholic Church, it says there's four types of prayer.
Really?
Prayer, number one, prayer of a blessing. Prayer of blessing.
Prayer of blessing. Okay. Yep.
Then number two is a prayer of repentance.
Okay.
And then there's a prayer of thanksgiving. Mm. And then there's a prayer of supplication, our petition, our intercessors. That's what it says. The four types of prayer in the Catholic Church.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Whew. All right. Okay. We're getting somewhere now.
Okay. Right here. Let's look at this. How does Jesus define prayer? Jesus says that prayer should be a private time between God and the worshiper. Jesus does not mean that this is wrong to pray with others, but the prayer should be sincere for the right motives. You ever notice that the Christian church, like the belief is very like based on feeling, like my feelings, where I think with tribal people, a lot of it is based on action reaction.
Yeah.
You know, so like what I do yields a certain result. I'm going to keep doing that if that result is beneficial to me and my family or whatever. Where in the church, it seems like it's based on like this, the ether. It's kind of like if it's God's will, this will happen. Or it's like, I feel this is my truth, like that kind of thing. Where
I think
in like a ceremony, like a crow ceremony, like a wrong movement is a wrong movement, regardless of how you look at it.
Right.
You know, so if you do something wrong, they're not like, well, did you feel like you did something wrong?
It's pretty clear.
Yeah, you did. You weren't
it's not up to you.
Now, does that mean that that's life or death? I don't know. I don't know that. I'm not the leader of those things. So you'd to ask them.
We're all mixed up here.
We are mixed up. We're getting offhand here. So anyway,
well, wait a minute. I want to go back to the instance of, because this is important. Praying. I can't get over this word. I can't get over it. You messed me up. Because, well, I've been thinking about this because I think about young people, you know, young people, especially like my kids. They say, well, just go pray about it. You know, you tell them that, but they don't know. They don't get it. Well, how do I do that? Then you tell them what exactly to do. And it's the wish, right?
It's the wish, man.
Go rub on that tree and ask for something. Yeah. So the word pray, in the English language, I just don't get it. And because people use it. I pray for all this food. But what does that mean? What are you doing? What are you doing? What's the action? What's the action? I'm going to pray for you. I say that. I'll say that to people. I'll pray for you. But you don't really tell them exactly what you're going to do. But do you have to? I'm mixed up, man. I'm all mixed up here. God dang it. Okay.
So I've heard people say this, like, this is even better. And any young listener, I would encourage this. If you know somebody owns a sweat or they like to go to the sweat lodge all the time, instead of saying, hey, will you pray for me? Just say, hey, next time you go into the sweat, will you ask for good things for me?
Yeah.
Say that. Yeah. Say that.
Yeah.
You use that if you're like, hey, if you know someone's going to go into the Sundance, which is a very serious thing. It's a big undertaking.
Yeah.
Maybe bring a pack of cigarettes to them and say, hey, I know you're going into that lodge. That's a holy place. I want you to ask for good things for me and my family.
Yeah.
That's better than clear. Just say, that's real clear.
It's real clear. So, or my mom's legs hurt.
Yeah.
Ask for them to feel better.
Yep.
Or, you know,
she's been suffering with this pain.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah.
We don't want her to have that pain anymore.
Yeah.
Be specific about what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Because they used to always say, don't pray for rain and then get mad when it floods.
Yeah.
You know,
be specific.
Don't be afraid to say, I want 3 inches of rain. You know what I mean? Like, don't say, we need one inch of precipitation. That's what I'm going to ask for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that's important. I really do think that's important. Now, fuck, does that mean I'm doing that? I don't know. I'm not saying that I'm the example of how this should be, because I don't know, man. I'm like anybody else, just trying to figure this all out for myself, you know?
Yeah. No, I can relate to that, because I think of a lot of instances where I'll revert to the word pray. I'll go pray for this, pray for that, but I'm not. It's been bothering me in the past like 10 years about, well, what does that really mean? What do I really mean? I do know, because when you go do that thing, you know, the series of things that you're asking for, you know why you said that you're going to pray for somebody. You usually say that to somebody because they're having a hardship. So, you know, you're going to ask for something good for them. But we use this word pray for some reason, and it gets tangled up in this thing you talked about, this form that we generally hear and follow, you know, but that doesn't matter how pitiful we are. We can still ask for things. We don't have to be in a pitiful state, I guess. So
no, you don't. You don't have to be pitiful.
So the prayer before, and this happens a lot. This happens a lot. I haven't seen it much here in where I'm at now. In fact, it's very rare, but back home, you always got to start the meeting with the prayer, and in a good way. And
yeah, let's Sean Dean Pete, can you come up here? We'd like to ask for you to do the blessing so we start our meeting off in a good way.
Yeah. As if it was going south, and what you're gonna say is gonna kind of straighten everything out. There's already bad blood, man. It's gonna be bad no matter what. So anyway, that's something I don't know. I mean, it's good to be a prayerful person. It's good to be I guess have that thought and that mentality in all things we do, I suppose. But I guess you can kind of run out of things, you know, like in one day's time, you could probably think of a lot of things that you really would want to wish for. Then what?
I don't know, dude. Okay, so let's start over.
Okay, so reset.
The whole reason I called you today and I said, hey, I want to have a podcast is because, dude, when I go to these meetings, at the beginning of the meetings, we'll blow 20 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, and in some cases, 40 minutes on the opening prayer. So we start the meeting off in a good way. And what I'm noticing, and I don't know if I'm a cynic or if I'm a fucking hater or what, but it does the exact opposite. It does not start the meeting off in a good way.
People get mad.
People get mad, dude. And they're like, oh man, now we need a break. Need a break after the prayer. Like,
if you need a break after the prayer, you probably went wrong somewhere.
And so this idea has been adopted by a lot of federal agencies, state agencies, academic institutions,
where
they'll say, when it's an Indian thing, they'll say, well, let's start the meeting off in a good way. Meanwhile, when you go home, and you have a sit down with your kids, or you, even at work, even when you're working with tribal people, and it's just, you don't have a prayer. You don't pray before
the
meeting. You just eat.
You just talk, man.
Yeah. Like, you just visit. And so I've been struggling with this because I have recently heard that the California tribes, as far as preservation work, they don't do it. They don't pray before meetings.
Yeah.
Before consultations in there.
Yeah.
And then, so we set it up pretty good. So we talked about wish making and prayer and all that stuff. So the lady asked me today, actually, a BLM archaeologist, we were talking, and I had brought it up that she was just asking kind of generally, like, was there anything, what are your thoughts on the meetings, these kinds of things?
Yeah.
Former BLM archaeologist. And I said, I said, you know, one of the things is all us tribes, we vary, you know, so from tribe to tribe, we're going to have different customs. Now I said, just speaking for the way I understand my own beliefs, and then the idea of wish making, when somebody gets up and prays for the meeting to go good, they're making a wish that this meeting's going to go good, that we're all going to get along, and that these things that we're going to talk about today, that we leave here in a good way. Now, I feel obligated to meet that prayer halfway. So I may have had all these notes from reading the prep documents saying, I'm going to trash this, because that's my job as a representative of a tribe and cultural resources. My job is to provide comment and to say, hey, we don't like this. We want to advocate for this. So now I feel hindered. Like, I can't say those things because those things might be taken confrontational, because that's the nature of consultation. Like, things are going to be uncomfortable sometimes, but that's how we work through things.
Yeah.
Now, my issue is that, why do we feel like it's necessary to do these long prayers before these meetings that might actually have an effect on how the consultation might go, or the whatever we're doing might go?
Yeah.
And when I talk to tribal people, traditionalists, I say, before you do this, do you guys do this at home? And they'll say, no, we don't do it. So they all unanimously agree they don't do that at home.
But
now why are they like almost like chomping at the bit to do it? there. So I can't help but think, and again, I'm a cynic. Yep. There's some showmanship to it.
Yep, that's what I'm going to say. It's performative.
It's performative.
It's just performance. Okay. And that that negates the whole purpose of what I don't get about, I mean, the word, you know, what we're talking about. I want to say wish making, or it sounds weird, but I'm feeling uncomfortable saying prayer now. Because I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I'm questioning it. Yeah. That's performance. It's performance because you're around a bunch of Indians and a bunch of non-Indians, and you got to do this little show. I don't know, man. But I don't know, because you can't. Okay. Yeah, you can't dog on somebody for trying to do something good like that. I don't know. But can you? I get the position you're in. I get the position you're in.
And the thing is I would never say to that person they're not sincere, because prayer is prayer. Like, I believe in prayer.
Yeah.
And I know it's good. All I'm saying is that I don't feel comfortable necessarily contradicting what's being asked for.
Yeah. So it's the necessity of that performance, that praying thing before these meetings that are I don't know, what are they? I mean, are they likened to ceremony in nature? Not really, I don't think, right? They're just working meetings, right? This is
we're talking about projects that we might be advocating for cultural resources. We might be arguing about methodology. We might be commenting on all various subjects with natural resources. It's really it's a regulatory meeting.
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel like the prayer is like, again, I can't help but think, but it seems a bit showmanshipy, you know? And I'm like, man, am I really going to be that guy that feels that way? And then I'm the bad guy. Because we've just been doing this for so long, you know?
Yeah. You know what that does? That works against kind of what we do as Native people too, you know? It puts a stereotype out there. So all non-Native folks are seeing that and they're thinking that this is the way. The all prayerful Native, they pray for everything. They pray during everything. You know, when that gets me is when people have to stand.
Oh, okay. So that's another thing. The lady, I said that. I said, you know, I've never been in a Crow ceremony where they said when they started praying, everyone stood up.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it in church.
Yeah.
A lot. I've seen it in church a lot, but
That's another thing. Everybody got to stand.
Got to
listen to somebody pray for 40 minutes. That's why everybody needs a break. Their legs are tired.
So if you were ever in a position where somebody said, and you have been there, I know you have, where they'll say, Sean Dean, we want you to pray at the beginning of the meeting. So we started off in a good way.
Yeah.
What would you do then at that point? Tell me, how would you approach the situation? Because maybe you're in a position where a respected person asked you.
Yeah.
So then you feel like, okay, I need to, because it was a respected individual that asked me to do this.
Yeah.
And what would you do?
Well, I remember the instances where that has happened. And generally, I'll give a short history lesson of some sort on how my way is intersected with some other cultural way, just very brief, you know, to say, okay, yeah, this is from what I know, this is how our people were interacting with your people in that sort of way. And then usually I'll just revert to, you know, not spoken word. I'll revert to a song of some sort and describe it briefly. And that's my go-to, because it's my hang up on the word prayer, you know. I don't exactly know where I would go with what I would say.
Are you okay, man? Like,
I'm not okay. I think I'm thinking too deeply about it. I probably just think myself out of everything. But no, I'm not prepared to.
I'm broke.
I'm not prepared to verbally say the things that I think would be appropriate for that situation. It's just too new, like especially if it just sprung in. Hey, can you say the prayer? Okay, you know, I guess. But if it's at home, you know, and it's for a meal, that's easy. Because then I just go right to what I know of Catholic ways. I'll just say the food prayer, the Catholic food prayer. It's easy. Because you know? Everybody knows it and they'll say it along with you, you know.
Yeah.
But if I'm in unknown territory, I'll try to sing something that might be meaningful for that situation.
You're broke. You're broke.
I'm broke, spiritually broke.
We broke you. Stopping broke you, dude. This is the most uncomfortable I've ever heard you.
Like, it's an odd one because you're accustomed to prayer, and wishing in certain instances, right?
Yes.
In the ceremonial context, that's where you're at. And when you're taken out of that, and you're asked to do something that seems like it has to be for that. Yeah, I get a bit uncomfortable. It doesn't, like, there's a mismatch. It's not the right audience. It's not of the right things prior to, leading up to it. Yeah, it's awkward. So that's how I've handled it before. I'll just revert to something that I'm really familiar with and that it would be meaningful for the situation.
But
what about you?
I say no.
Okay. Yeah.
I do. I say no. I said, no, yeah. I don't think we need to do that. I think that,
yeah.
In fact, when this lady asked me, she said, how would you envision it? I said, okay, here's what I thought this was pretty clever, but
yeah.
you might think I'm an idiot, but
okay, let's hear it.
Which has happened before. I said, you're not going to shake the prayer thing. You're not going to, it's so ingrained in that.
Yeah.
Arena that we're not going to shake it. So what I said was the facilitator of the meeting would get up, stand up or sit there, however they want to do it, but hold court. And their job is to proclaim
right. The
reason for the meeting and why the meeting was called.
Yeah.
This is why we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then you would say, at the end of the meeting, I'm going to ask my friend so-and-so to pray for us at the end of the meeting, that the things that we share here today that we'll learn from it. Mm. So at the end of the meeting, I'm going to ask so-and-so to do that for us.
Yeah.
And then you start the meeting.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
That seems more, it seems more fitting in that instance, you know. And then if those people can just leave if they don't want to be part of it, you know, because it's at the end.
Dude, because I'm like trying to be late for meetings.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be a part, like, it's so awkward. And it's just like, oh, and we're going to talk about like wind turbines. And it's like, I was just about to trash their design. And now I got to go in there with a good heart. In a good way, and it's like, oh, I feel obligated now to be real nice to this guy.
That's like you only bead when you have a good heart, good feelings. Nobody ever get any beading done.
Oh, I know. So another thing, anyway, one time my grandma told me that her grandma, she would get all her ingredients together to cook dinner for these kids, her kids. She was an old lady, you know. This is way back in the 30s and 40s. So that lady was old then.
Yeah.
She'd get all the ingredients together. And then before she cooked, she would make a wish for the food. She'd say, I'm going to put you together for these things for my kids.
Yeah.
And that while I'm doing this, that something good will go into it and it'll bring nourishment to these young kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And then when they would, she was done cooking, she'd tell them, come and eat. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, she like placed something into that food now.
Yeah.
She said, while it was being created.
Yeah.
Not like cook it, do everything, and then just say, well, I hope God hooks you up with something. But also, like, maybe we just don't even know what we're talking about. And, like, I don't know. Do you think God really worries about your spaghetti? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I struggle.
Yeah. That's why the more concrete I thing you started with, that makes more sense to me. In a way. I mean, not fully, but I mean, no, that makes sense. The praying part about the higher being, a God creator, those kind of things. Yeah. That's something. But the earthly things, that makes a lot of sense. To pray and ask things from something that is living on the earth. And there's instances of that in the past. You see that quite a bit, you know, someone telling their kid to go rub on a tree, you know, and pray for themselves to be strong and their bones to be strong, those kind of things, you know.
Yeah.
Shooting an arrow at a rock, you know, and asking it the rock to help them in their hunting or their wars. And the tree, the medicine trees, you know, making wishes in these trees. You know, getting song, you know, you get visions and songs about water, springs, locations.
What about this? What if you're like, this is real hypothetical.
Yeah.
What if you're a spelunker? You know what a spelunker is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cave diving folk?
Oh, sure. I just watched a documentary.
Oh, so you're quite astute.
You asked me about belaying or...
We as tribal people, most of the time, don't really believe that we belong to that. Like we don't live there. We may have came from there in some beliefs. Some tribes say we came from the ground. Now we're on top of the ground or whatever. So, but the idea is like, that's almost like another realm, right?
Yeah.
Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, agree. Agree.
So what if I'm a spelunker and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go into the ground.
Yeah.
Then I go outside and I see some prairie dogs. Okay.
Yeah.
And I look at the prairie dogs. Well, where do they live?
Yeah, they live in the ground.
Live in the ground. So what if I go over to that prairie dog and I take a piece of my cookie out and I put it on the ground and I say, I'm going to go into the ground like you live in the ground.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to watch me while I go in there and that the things that I do in there will mimic you because you're from there.
Yeah.
Then you might go, do you think that's more tribal?
Oh, yeah.
That seemed pretty tribal, didn't it?
That does, yeah. That's right in line, yeah.
That's right in line.
Seems to be. It's concrete.
Yes, it's concrete.
It's practical. I can grasp it.
I can, even if it's not like your direct tribe's belief, based on your concepts of your tribe, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I think about all these things we're talking about. And I've described this before to in a different way. But, so I believe there's a higher power, right? There's this higher power. We don't know what it is. You know, you see it in like an old trying to think of those I can't even think of, but they call it the great mystery, you know, the mystery, the great spirit. That's I think where this whole idea of the great spirit, this mystery thing, we don't know what it is.
We don't even know.
I think that's something. But for us to receive anything, any gift from that, we can't go right to that thing. It has to be an intermediary, such as earthly things that I've talked about. That's what this whole fasting vision, you're trying to get a sumesh, you're trying to get a power, but it's an earthly thing. It's not nothing. It's not a mystery. It's something that we're familiar with. So I think that is like the intermediary between the power that's out there is these earthly things. That's kind of the belief. So to pray to those things, to wish to those things, to pray in that manner that you talk about. I'm going to do this thing, so I'm going to pray to that thing that's like that. That's so familiar. Just the way you condition your children, you know, when they're born, you condition them by you know, introducing a part of that animal that you want them to be like. I don't know if that crows do that, but you know, it's kind of an old Salish tradition, you know, and in some instances, they'll they'll mix ants with clay and they'll rub it on their babies at a certain age because they want their kids to be hard workers, or a certain animal, you know, they want them to be quick. So they'll rub the heart of that animal with some clay onto that kid because they want them to be like that. That's kind of that same manner of wishing, well-wishing, like you described.
Yeah. Yeah. We might not do the specific, that specific thing, but that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
Like what you just said makes complete sense to me. So I'm like, yeah for sure. Like my grandpa used to say them old warriors would train their kids to go catch beavers, and they would catch beavers. They'd take the tail of the beaver and they'd rub it on their chest. And they'd say, I want to be able to swim like this beaver, you know?
Yeah.
Or I had one time heard this story about the early reservation era. I don't know who the individuals were, but it made sense to me. But I haven't even thought about it till just today. But this guy wanted to build his family a home. So he went to one of his clan relatives and said, I want you guys to make good wishes for me. I want to build my wife and kids a home. Yeah. And they told him, they said, go down to the river where you see them beaver dams.
Yeah.
And ask those beavers to guide you in building a home.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense to me, even just talking like this, is because those beavers built the home.
Yeah.
They're Why good not? At it. Why yeah. not?
Why not?
That makes total sense. It's like, oh, that guy's medicine was the beaver. That's just my first instinct was like, oh, his medicine was the beaver. And it's like, well, no, literally he's talking about building a home.
Yeah. Yeah.
That beaver has what you're looking for. Go ask it how it did it.
Yep.
Duh.
It's not that mysterious once you start taking it apart, but
it's really not.
It's not. We complicated a lot of matters, not of our own doing, I think. And people looking outside in, it probably even imagine how mysterious and backward it might seem, but maybe not. I don't know. I think all people, all humans are pretty practical in that matter, but it's just these, I hate to say, but you know, religious, I don't know. I don't even want to say it. I don't want to say it. It's different. This is different. Anyway, different. We've been at it. We've been at it for an hour and a half.
Let's quit then.
Okay. On the next episode, I'm hoping to see you set up that boom arm.
Name this episode in a good way.
Air quotes, in a good way.
In the ancient way.
In the we still never talked about Prey, the movie.
Oh.
We're gonna do that next. We gotta do that next.
Oh man, yeah, dude. And that movie was sick, man.
And then also we still gotta do our contemporary singing episode. I haven't done that yet either. That's coming up.
Dude, I'm excited about that one. So we got to do that one.
I am too. And still, shout out to Wild Gallery, still supporting the show.
Oh, awesome, man. Congrats.
Congrats to us.
Yeah.
Did you congratulate Wild Gallery for hanging out with us?
Yeah, thanks, Wild Gallery, for sticking it out with us knuckleheads, you know.
Yeah. So click on their link, I suppose, in the show notes.
link will be in the show notes. Wild Gallery, thank you for your support. We're just gonna be providing all this great confused content for you guys.
Awesome, man. Wait, we got some other Patreons. Let's give them a quick shout out real quick. While you're still here. It. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm not ready. Let's see. Where am I at? Here we go. Okay. Here it is.
Pray about it.
Are you still here? Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. Okay, we've got Mary Bobbitt. $5. $5 a month. Oh, that's awesome.
Mary.
Awesome. Thank you, Mary.
She's
thank you.
A BLM archaeologist.
Well, there you go. Jason Friage. I think that's how you say it. Friehage. Pitching in $5 a month. Awesome. Thanks, nice. Jason. Thanks, and then Jason. Travis Davis. he's the stand-up dude, man. Ooh. He's been supporting the show for a long time. I think so. Yeah. He's been pitching in 25 a month. Man, that's been helping out. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. Thank you. Rachel Holscher. She can't afford much, but she's really pitching in where she can. $2 a month. That's awesome. Way to go.
We'll take it.
I know. And
very
it helps.
Thankful.
Same with Marzana. I don't know what her last name is. I don't even know I'm saying the name right. Marzena. Marzena? Maybe. $2 a month. Pitching in. It's helping out. Thank you. Ryan Swanson. Yep. $5 a month. Ooh, he's been hanging in there for quite a while, too. A while. Thanks, Ryan. Awesome. And then Emma Lefebvre. $5 a month. You can't beat it. Awesome.
That's awesome.
I know. Thank you. Say it again.
Thank you. Thank you.
With some meaning.
I'll pray for you.
Yes. All right.
Thank you, though. For real. Thank you. For real. Everyone, thank you.
All right. We're out.
All right. Peace. Okay.